Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the PB Fintech Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rasleen Kaur. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you for joining us today. We have with us Mr. Yashish Dahiya, Chairman and CEO, PB Fintech, Mr. Alok Bansal, Executive Vice Chairman and Whole-time Director of PB Fintech, Mr. Sarbvir Singh, President, Policybazaar, Mr. Naveen Kukreja, CEO, Paisabazaar, Mr. Mandeep Mehta, CFO, PB Fintech. Now I request Mr. Yashish Dahiya to give us a brief update about the quarter one FY23 results.
Hello, everyone. Before I get into details on the way forward and the Q1 FY23 performance metrics, I'd like to reiterate some facts about our business. There are four pillars that I believe we stand on. Firstly, a majority of health and life insurance consumers in India do their research on Policybazaar. This leads to a higher persistency for these consumers because having done their research, they somewhat know what they are purchasing, and hence their likelihood of churning is much lower. We have the best conversion engine for digital inquiries and continue to improve it, as demonstrated by the increased premium per inquiry of 32% over the last 12 months. As a third leg, we continue to improve the platform in terms of its consumer onboarding, service, and claims capability, demonstrated by the CSAT, which is at 83%, and the numerous number of unprompted customer messages I receive every day on claim support as well as customer onboarding. Lastly, but not the least, a higher customer disclosure, which is because the customer is filling out the forms themselves, along with stronger data analytics and fraud detection mechanisms, which lead to a better control on the claims ratios, which eventually also lead to higher claim settlement rates. We continue to build on all four of these pillars, and we get stronger every day. Our core businesses, the insurance marketplace, Policybazaar, and the credit marketplace, Paisabazaar, grew at 59% year-on-year and have now been adjusted EBITDA positive for a second quarter running. Out of the total revenue, the credit-linked revenue was 84 crore for the last quarter. For our insurance business, we had an adjusted EBITDA of 18 crore positive for the last quarter. For complicated products like health and life insurance, we have been extending our customer connect beyond remote calling by giving consumers the convenience to have physical meetings at their home or office and in their local language. We are happy that customers have accepted this wholeheartedly, and the results continue to encourage. We have also extended on-ground claim support in 114 cities as of date. Our renewals revenue is now at 270 crore annual run rate, and as we have previously mentioned, roughly 85% of this flows directly to the bottom line. Paisabazaar, our credit marketplace, continues to grow very well and has rebounded strongly from COVID. We are now at an annual run rate of 11,200 crore disbursal and 4.3 lakh credit cards issued. We have over 29.5 million customers who've accessed the credit score platform in 823 towns. This number represents 13% of India's credit score, active credit score consumers. 75% of these consumers are from non-metros. With increasing digitization, the digital marketplace like ours obviously stands to benefit. Co-created product strategy is shaping up well with step-up cards, duet credit cards, et cetera, our contribution margins have improved significantly over the last 2 years. And I'm quite pleased to say at this stage, we expect the credit business to turn adjusted EBITDA positive by Q4 this year. To update on new initiatives, PB Partners, our seller aggregator platform, leads the market in scale, has the highest proportion of non-motor business, and has started increasing efficiency. We continue to be positive on all the other new initiatives as well. Essentially, we have delivered 2 quarters of positive adjusted EBITDA on our core business now. And now onwards, the core business, in our best opinion, should continue to grow EBITDA by roughly 150 crores every year, every passing year. We are very comfortable supporting new initiatives at roughly a 200 crore a year burn as of the present month. Q4, just to kind of take you to seasonality, Q4 is easily the strongest quarter in our industry, and Q1 is the weakest. However, our core revenues are roughly the same in both these quarters. If you notice, Q1 revenues are 96% of Q4. Last year, Q1 was a COVID year, and health and life insurance demand in terms of inquiries had peaked. The inquiries in the months of April and May this year were not at the same level as last year. However, we were still able to continue to grow, largely owing to higher premium per inquiry which we achieved due to our operations. Inquiry growth has returned in the last few months, and we are confident of higher growth in the coming months and quarters. We are a significant and growing contributor to the fresh retail, term and health business, and in fact even to the savings business now of our country, and have delivered 2 quarters of positive adjusted EBITDA in our core business. And we feel we could be adjusted EBITDA positive as a group by Q4 of this year for the entire business. It is close enough and we have confidence enough, and happy to take questions now.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Sachin from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. First question, you know, Yashish, Alok would like to actually understand how has the mix for your business changed, you know, as we are recovering away from COVID in terms of health, motor, life, any specific changes we are seeing out there? And a related question is, you know, hopefully, you know, your business is not too impacted, but any impact on the back of inflation are we seeing?
On the back of?
Inflation.
So I think both the questions are for Sarabhi, really, because...
Yeah, so Sachin, on the first part, we are seeing, you know, just by the base effect, we have seen a stronger growth in motor in Q1 than other businesses, just because last year was very low. But otherwise, as Yashish mentioned, health and term, we were able to build despite the drop in inquiries from last year. So we are not seeing any major change in the mix of our business in the first quarter. The impact of inflation is also fairly subdued on our business so far. I think there is some general impact on the economy, but for our business, it's been fairly subdued.
Got it. Second question is, you know, you guys mentioned on, you know, being close to adjusted EBITDA break-even by 4Q. Any thoughts on, you know, how do you guys look at the steady-state sustainable EBITDA margin and, you know, how soon, you know, should we be able to reach that after being close to EBITDA break-even?
So I think we've given a very clear indication now that, you know, and that was really aimed at the analyst community, that we believe we should be increasing our profitability by 150 crores every year from here onwards every passing year. So that should give you a pretty good steer on where, and I don't see that slowing down for the next 3-4 years at least. So that should give you a pretty clear steer on where we believe the profitability could reach over the next 4-5 years. If one breaks even by Q4, but Alok, is there anything specific you want to add here?
No, so Sachin, see, if we look at the core business, it's been profitable for last 2 quarters now, and that should continue to build, and as we get to the year end, that number should be big enough to cover for the other experiments that we do. We would definitely want to invest behind the experiments to the extent we feel comfortable, and that number you see is already given as about 200 crores. But the way our core business continues to deliver efficiency, I think over next few years, starting from next financial year itself, we'll continue to see adjusted EBITDA being positive. In fact, the ESOP charges also will come down quite substantially because of the way accounting happens. So from 2024-25, I think ESOP charges will be quite minuscule compared to the sort of EBITDA we provide. So I think...
if you're not a third of what they are now.
So that's the answer. This is EBITDA, we should be talking about EBITDA by that time.
Yeah.
Got it. And my last question, Alok, is just a follow-up on the experiments you mentioned. Clearly, you know, I mean, while you guys have given a guidance of 200 crores, the kind of investments we have made look a bit conservative as compared to 200 crores. So is there a general thought process that if you're not able to invest that, you know, that could be returned back to shareholders? Or how do you look at that?
Well, so when we say investments, Sachin, we are not talking about investments in third-party or acquisitions. We are talking about investments into our experiments, which are, you know, the seller aggregation platform, the PSU platform that we are BB partners, the corporate business that we are building, and the international business through the UAE entity that we have got. So these are the investments that we were mentioning, about 200 crores. We remain choosy in terms of our investment into any inorganic growth opportunities. We will only invest if we feel that there is a potential of some synergies with either Policybazaar or Paisabazaar platforms. But generally, we have been more build versus acquire, and I don't think that DNA is going to change in a hurry.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. So, sir, with regard to the new initiatives and the investments that you mentioned, so given that we have started this digital model and we've started to begin a physical presence in the form of stores, and we have the target of establishing more than 200 stores by FY24, why do we see a reduction in the expenditure in the new initiatives as of this quarter?
Okay, so first of all our physical stores or physical presence are not part of our new initiatives. I think we have clarified this many times. They are part of our core business. And so all those costs are in the core business, all those margins are in the core business, and when we say the core business is profitable, that or adjusted EBITDA, at the adjusted EBITDA level, that implies it includes all those costs of all those stores and all those physical people, and everything is included in that. New
initiative. Why is the expenditure on the core business down from last quarter?
No, that is... The expenditure on the core business is, just give me a second here.
See, expenditure is just a function of the revenue, right? So the revenue is down a little bit compared to last quarter because of the seasonal nature of the business. The expenditure follows that. There is no other thing, right?
Yeah, but sir, if you could, yes, sir, please.
It's pretty much the same as last quarter. There isn't a major change. It's pretty much the same as last quarter.
Yeah, and see, Michael, we don't really give a separate breakout in terms of the expenditure done on the FOS or the physical store side that you do. You know, that is still a very nascent part of the core business. It's growing, and we are taking very major calls for each location and each store. As these grow, we keep on investing more and more behind these. Typically, any particular store requires a small investment from CapEx perspective, and then there is a small investment from the OpEx perspective first few months. Within those 3 months to 6 months time frame, people start to actually break even within the store or within that location and start to contribute back. So we have been expanding slowly, slowly over last
Just to explain, so there's no confusion on this. Our core or existing business revenue last quarter was 386 crores, and that is 371 crores. Q4 is the biggest quarter, and the contribution has gone from 179 to 167. So, and actually the EBITDA is down by about 5 crores. So while the revenue has declined by roughly 15 crores, the EBITDA is only down by 5 crores. That means the expenses have gone up by, have gone down by about 10 crores, which is okay. At that level, it is a 3-4% shift here or there. So that has got nothing to do with, you know, there is no, it's pretty much the same as it was. There isn't much change.
All right, sir. Thank you. So if you could give me the renewal revenue for this quarter.
The renewal revenue is at 270 crore run rate. So annual run rate is 270 crores. So you just got to divide that by 4. That is what? That's 67.5 crores.
67.5. Yes, sir. So what part of our premium would be life and health premium as of today? Since health is the major focus, as that generates the most renewal revenue for us, what part of the total premium would be life and health as of today?
Approximately 75% of our premium is life and health.
All right. So going forward, sir, this is one last question for me. Going forward in the POSP business, so as we've been doing this, the third-party agents that come on our platform and sell our insurance products, and we forego a major part of the fee to them. Going forward, how much of that is going to be given to the third-party agents? Are we changing that in the coming quarters, or is it the same model as of now?
So I think the answer to that question varies by category and by subcategory even. And as you can imagine, it's a competitive market, so I can't share, you know, exact details with you. But what we are trying to do is to improve the retention as we go along, as the loyalty of our agents build. So the way this works is that agents care about cash flow. They care that who pays them on time and who pays them reliably. As that, you know, now we've established that over the last 4 quarters, that we are a big player in the market, we are paying on time, our technology now is the best in the market. So people like to work with us. So as that happens, we will be able to retain more as we go along. And you will see the impact of that as the quarters develop.
All right. So any target for physical presence for this year?
Any target for physical presence?
Physical presence for this year in the form of stores.
Yeah, so we have right now. So stores are a small part of our overall physical presence. Just to give you a sense, we have over 600 people deployed in the field. We have 40 stores only. So stores are a small portion of the overall story. We expect that, you know, as the economics, you know, prove themselves out, we will continue to expand both the number of people in the field as well as the number of stores.
All right. So just one last question. How much are we spending on the customer grievances, that is the call center service and other people that are picking up the calls and, you know, addressing the grievances of the customers? How much are we spending on those?
We have about, I remember as of last few months, there are about 300 people who are answering customer queries and grievances. So yes, we of course spend on that, but that cost is included within our margins and our core business.
And does it form a major portion of the employee expenses?
No, it's not a major portion. It's not a major portion, no.
Okay, thank you, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Sachin Dixit from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ashish and Alok. Congratulations on a great quarter. My first question was regards to the life insurance sector, right? Today itself, the news on that LIC has become a very dominant force with almost like 60 or 69% on market share, and I think you guys onboarded LIC recently, like last 5-6 months. Are you driving benefits from the partnership now, or is it still work in progress?
Yeah, so I'll just take that. LIC on an online journey started just last month with us, you know, after all the integrations have been completed. The first month, as you can imagine, it's been a good start. We are slowly building the business, but we are very optimistic, and I think we see a very good opportunity ahead. As you said, LIC is a major player in the business, and I think we will also benefit from that as we go along.
But so far not much traction though.
No, I said the traction is very good. We've just started.
Okay. Sure. My second question is with regards to if you can provide me some sort of mix between new business premium renewal and B2B or the POSP premium basically. Because obviously, right, new initiatives are accounting for almost 25% of your revenue today, and we do not have much numbers here. So it would be helpful to get some color.
I think in the press release, we have given a breakup of core business as well as non-core. No, we have not. Have we done that?
We just have revenue and investment amount. That's it.
Just a second. I don't think we are doing those breakups here. We don't do those breakups historically. So we're not doing those breakups. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I understand. It's just like it's become a significant part of your revenue today, right? It's not trivial. So would be helpful if going forward at least.
The revenues are mentioned. So, I think we only do policy versus paisa. We don't go into a segment-wise breakup within the company. We just don't do it for various reasons. I understand that there is a requirement for it from, or a desire to have that, but we don't provide it.
Right, because without any drivers, we do not have number of POSPs, we do not have premium, right? It's very tough for us to drive the model, like this is just a number for us right now.
We appreciate that.
Sure. I think the team can help you with some guidance later if you like.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Arjun Vikas from Alpha Wave Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. First of all, great results, Alok and Ashish, and Salvi. Thank you. Thank you for giving the opportunity as well. Quick question on credit card. I understand we were going to launch co-branded cards or come out with some card offering of our own. Does that get impacted in any shape and form with the recent PPI regulation with banks loading of those cards with credit?
Arjun, thanks. This is Naveen. The PPI regulation was impacting the prepaid instrument. When we talked about the cards, we have two co-branded credit cards live in the market, so they do not get impacted because they're on a credit card platform, not on the PPI platform, and they satisfy the co-branding conditions that RBI had laid out when they came out with the regulation on what is allowed and what is not allowed for a co-brand partner to be doing. We work with, in both the cases, we work with different but banks. So the banks are, we are working with them as per the regulations.
So no impact in our plans going forward either, I'm assuming?
Absolutely no impact.
Okay, great. Good to hear. And on, I was seeing the slide on the claim settlement ratio, which says that we're probably 8 percentage points higher than the industry. Just wanted to check, what are we doing here which is so different? Is it just the underwriting which is driving this? In some shape and form, because there's lesser frauds involved at the time of underwriting, or there's actually something they're doing at the time service which is helping this incremental percentage.
So Arjun, on the claim settlement ratio, that was from example from health insurance. So the reason that is happening is that because we have higher disclosure upfront, So the main reasons why claims tend to get rejected is because there was lack of disclosure. So person has not told that there is a certain, you know, pre-existing illness or something which, you know, the insurer uses, has to reject for that reason. So because we have such high disclosure, our customers, when they claim, their policies tend to be very clean. And secondly, our customers also understand their policies much better than probably average. So the whole process, both in terms of their making relevant claims and the fact that they are, you know, they have disclosed everything, tends to, you know, do that. On top of this, we, you know, we've spoken about the claim support that we are providing. So we have a physical presence in 114 cities now. Our person shows up at the hospital if required. We have call center support as well. So when a person has to file a claim, we guide them in terms of, you know, what documents are required, what all is needed. So that also helps in ensuring a higher claim settlement ratio.
Got it. And so just last question, would you be able to share any kind of guidance or numbers around, you know, customer acquisition costs and, you know, kind of premium we do per agent at the call center now? Or has it changed significantly?
You want to, I think Sarab, we should answer that, sorry.
I think it's really hard to, you know, talk publicly about these sensitive numbers, but I would just say that, as you can imagine, the premium per inquiry is building, right? I think that number has been shared at over 1500 rupees per inquiry. So I think as that builds, you can imagine that the productivity of our agents is only improving, you know, as we go forward. And again, just to remind everyone, the reason our agents are productive is the fact that the person, when they come to Policy Wizard, they have a higher intention of buying insurance. So this is the only platform in the insurance ecosystem where someone comes to buy insurance versus being sold insurance. So that is step one for the reason why our productivity is high. And then, of course, our agents are very well trained. They have, you know, great support from a technology perspective, from a CRM perspective and everything. So it's these two things put together. The fact that a person comes with higher intention of buying insurance, and secondly, because, you know, we have very well trained and very capable agents. These numbers are only building as we go along.
If you look at our overall health and life business per se, at a very rough number, that number is about 10 lakh rupees per agent. At a broad number, you know, per salesperson, that's about 10 lakh rupees per month. Typically, an agent in the market would be quite happy if they are selling about 50,000 rupees. So about 20x the productivity of what you would call, you know, a standard offline agent. And as Sarbvir mentioned, that is largely driven by the fact that there is a desire on the part of the consumer to buy, which is what he's expressed by at least voluntarily coming to the site to research that particular product, and the technology platform which allows for better onboarding, issuance, etc.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Nischint Savate from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. One is the new premium per inquiry. This has gone up by around 15% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So how should we really think of it? You know, you mentioned that for obvious reasons, motor premium was higher in this quarter. So, you know, and I would believe that motor premiums would be maybe in line or maybe slightly below your, you know, average premium. So how should we really, you know, how should we really think about it? Is it something that you were able to grow, you know, savings at a faster pace? Or is it something that you've seen a very similar, you know, increase in ticket size across products?
So first of all, motor is a very small portion of that answer. I think the real answer is that, as we just discussed, the productivity of our agents is going up. So they are able to, you know, convert more leads per agent than they were converting earlier. This is driven, again, by two or three things. Intent of the customer, the technology that we are providing our agents to, you know, to talk, as well as the onboarding, etc. And the third thing is the offline component that we have added, where a person is able to visit the customer in their home or office as they desire. And that is giving us an incremental productivity and incremental conversion. So when you put these three things together, that is what you are seeing in that average premium per inquiry, which is being driven upward.
So just to kind of add to Sarabjit's answer there, although I've been given very clear instructions not to interject in Sarabjit's answers because he handles policy with and should not, but I'll still say something. If you look at the last 14 years of our existence, we have been putting in the efforts on technology and product and the customer and our training all along. But never in history have we seen a premium per inquiry go up at the rate that it has gone up in the last 12 months. And the primary reason for that is the fact that we have started the physical channel. That is the biggest reason why this premium per inquiry is going up. Although that alone will not explain it, because only about 15% of the premium has started going through that channel. So that will not explain 32% increase. But that will increase, that will probably be the biggest, you know, differentiator over the last few years.
And basically the offline format is obviously doing larger tickets.
It's more productive. There is no doubt the offline format is more productive.
So basically 15% when you say these are 15% offline inquiries, I mean 15% of the
We don't have a single offline inquiry. Just wanted to clarify. We don't have a single offline inquiry. All inquiries come online. They can be closed on the website without assistance, which is what happens to almost all motor, two-wheeler and travel business.
Yes.
For health and life, a bulk of the business used to get closed by the call center through a voice call or a video call. And now, increasingly, customers also have the ability to meet with our agents in their office or their home. And that last leg is contributing to about 15% of the business. And that is where some of the growth in productivity, etc., is coming from. And that 15% has been growing every month for the last 12 months. 15% is a significant part to start going through a new channel.
Yeah, and listen, see, mix change and all will keep on happening. Some of these are controllable, some of these are not controllable. But if you look at, if we were converting at X percentage earlier, are we doing a better job of it? Yes, because of the training, because of a lot of rest of integrations and all. So the effort required per transaction has come down, and it's coming down every quarter. The second part is, are we able to add something to the X? Is it becoming X plus delta? Now that's where the online, this offline physical part is also helping. So for the same inquiry, or say for the same 100 inquiries, they're able to convert more and convert faster. And that is an effort which will continue. Specifically on the physical side, it's a very young experiment still. As we understand more and as we learn more, I think we continue to, you know, hopefully deliver more and more premium per inquiry from that perspective.
Got it. The second question is really on the on the EBITDA line. So I'm looking at slide number 4. What you're saying is that Q1 FY23 adjusted EBITDA non-GAAP is a negative 66 crore number. And if you're specifically, what you're guiding is that this 66 will come closer to zero by the fourth quarter. Is that the right reading?
Yes, that's the right reading. Absolutely.
Sure. And the new initiatives, which I believe largely is the POSP business, is currently, currently you have expensed around 71 crores this quarter. And you mentioned that you are okay to spend approximately 200 crores per year. So, you know, I mean, in that sense, your existing business will have to kind of match up to get into a negative or to a near zero number. Is that the right reading?
Yeah. So the existing business will more than cover that cost by the Q4. We are fairly confident of that.
Listen, there are three parts again here if you look at it. One is what we are doing on the insurance side, which continues to be EBITDA positive and continues to become stronger and stronger over the quarters. The second is what is happening on the credit side, where the EBITDA loss has come down and Yashish mentioned earlier, by the end of this year, should be break even. And third is the experiments, which you can already see from last quarter of this quarter, the number has come down in terms of the investment that we have done on those experiments. But our endeavor is to keep it around 200 CR for the year. This was the first quarter, so obviously you can see that the number has come down to 70 from 90. But for the year, we are quite hopeful that it will be very near to 200. So by the time we get to the quarter four, all these things put together should hopefully result into a, you know, adjusted EBITDA neutral or positive quarter for us.
So that clarifies. Thank you very much. Just one request, if, you know, in one or two quarters down the line, if you can start sort of, you know, splitting the existing business into the credit and the insurance business, I think that will just help us to read the numbers or the underlying trends better. Thank
so you. We'll take that input niches and come back to all that.
Thank you. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. I just wanted to understand what would be a quarterly revenue share, let's say, how the first quarter would look like and how the fourth quarter would look like, because we are a seasonal business and the Q4 is typically a heavy quarter for the insurance industry. So how would Q1, Q2, Q3 and Q4 would look like in terms of as a percentage?
Historically, we don't give forward guidance and all that, except for the one I'm giving for Q4. I'm giving some forward guidance because I think everybody needed it and we also feel fairly confident of it now. But historically, the year has been about 5.5x of the first quarter, but seasonality is reducing for us. So, you know, you can make your own judgment call on how it would play out.
That varies by vertical also. So, typically what happens is if you look at industry, because industry is skewed towards savings product, that's why you see much higher seasonality for the industry. In our case, because we have very big portion of protection, which is not as seasonal, the number is not as skewed also. And the number has been coming down for us. In fact, a few years back, this number used to be quite big, but now, I think, as Yashish said, this number for a couple of years would have been about 5 to 5.5.
And if you look at last year, we did, what, 1,400 crores at the end?
Yeah.
And this quarter was, what,
240.
So that's a little more than 5x.
Yeah.
And but we had a lot of growth of new initiatives in the latter part of the year. So there are two parts there, right? Last year, actually, Q1 was quite a strong quarter because of COVID compared to the rest of the year. But at the same time, we had a lot of new initiatives growth. So my view is, as a fair assessment, I think, I've given you the numbers there. Historically, it's been about 5 to 5.5x. I don't think that will be the case this year. I think it will be, you know, on the lower end of that spectrum at best.
Got it. So around Q1 into 5 is a typical revenue that you could do for the volume.
We do have plans. We don't share them. It's up to you. You want to assume whatever I put to historical number. The historical number has been 5 to 5.5x.
Got it. So, the ESOP cost this quarter would be around 170 crore. Would that be the right number?
Yeah, something around 167.
167 crores.
167 crores. Okay, and I just wanted a clarity on the 150 crore adjusted EBITDA you were referring to an increase every year. So what is that number exactly? Like 150 crore, which would keep happening every year, or how is it?
It would keep increasing approximately 150 crores every year. That's our assessment.
On adjusted EBITDA or normal EBITDA?
At the adjusted EBITDA level. So if we do X adjusted EBITDA in a particular year, the next year it should be about 150 more than that.
So this year we're expecting it to be zero, and probably for FY24 we would move to 150 crores.
The year won't be zero. The last quarter would be zero.
Okay. Quarters. And if LICS has come into our as a partner, wouldn't your addressable opportunity go higher by, like, let's say 3 or 4x? Because they are like 70% of the 70% of the market in the life insurance world.
It doesn't work quite like that, as you can imagine. I won't want to go into what our opportunity could be, but you're right, it's a very big opportunity. There are obviously LICs, very strong distribution already, so I won't say that, you know, there is 4x opportunity. But it's a big opportunity, and, you know, our focus always is to make the most of it and see where we end up.
Got it. And just in the new initiatives, what would be our fixed...
If you were to think about this, think about it in a very simple manner. It's like a restaurant. where a certain number of customers come and it has a certain set of dishes and suddenly the most popular dish also becomes available. I don't think the restaurant, like, it would be very hard to say that the restaurant sales would become 4x just because the most popular dish became available. Same set of customers coming, right? So, yes, the restaurant's revenues might go up some bit. But I think that's the way to look at it. It's like there is a fixed number of people who are coming to us. I doubt if our conversion rates will quadruple. But yes, we expect some improvement, and that's, you know, obviously...
Got it. And just wanted to understand the fixed overheads in the new initiatives business. Right now, we're going to be burning close to 1 crore. But what would be that fixed cost overhead line item sitting there? And at what scale that line item would stop growing actually?
Sorry, on the new initiatives?
Yeah, on the new initiative.
So I think we've peaked out on that. It wouldn't require a lot more from here onwards. You know, I think I don't have, you know, a view on it increasing any further. We peaked out on it. As I explained last quarter that we had peaked out on the overall losses. And this year, I could say this quarter, I can say we peaked out on the, yeah, unless you have something else to add.
No, I just want to add that if you see Q3, Q4 and Q1 of this year, each quarter the investment in the new initiatives has come down.
Right.
So I think it's slowly, to your point, it's slowly, you know, we are moving to a point where the fixed costs will start getting covered. And as Yashi said, by Q4, you know, we would like to be break even for the whole business.
So our direct costs in that business are around 200 crores every quarter, right?
Direct cost 200 crores?
134 plus 54.
For the all new initiative taken together.
Yeah, correct.
For all new initiatives put together, yes, roughly about 200. That much, yeah. About 190 crores.
Yes. So once we see the new business... revenues crossing 200 crores broadly, that is when we become contribution.
So these are not fixed costs, these are direct costs. See, before we get into that detail, just let's take a step back and understand a bit about our business. The three things: scale, growth and profitability. And scale and growth, although they are very linked to each other, but both have different connotations for us in terms of how, what sort of support we get from suppliers, what sort of, you know, input we get from investor community and everyone else. Now, new initiatives are very important because these are opportunities out there where we want to invest. You know, I don't know whether we have mentioned this, but we have got more than 5,000 crore on the balance sheet as of June end. And it would be quite stupid of us as a management team not to figure out what are the right opportunities to invest and look for the future growth of, you know, next 3 years, 5 years, growth areas. So, in new initiatives, bulk of it is direct cost. And direct cost will obviously grow as the revenue grows, but we will try to become more and more efficient. So, if you look at our contribution percentage on new initiative, it used to be 52% negative last quarter, which has come down to 40% negative. Now, our hope is we'll continue to drive this downwards so that in some time, whether it is 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, but in some time, we are able to get to a zero contribution number here. But we all believe that this is the right way for the business to look at growth over next 5 years or 7 years time frame. So we will continue to invest. And the number that Yashish mentioned earlier, I'm just reiterating that, will be about 200 CR for the year that we are willing to invest as of now. If it changes, we'll obviously come back to you guys and inform you.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'm audible.
Dipanjan, we can't hear you very clearly.
Is this better?
Yes, sir.
Yes, much better.
Sure. So first is a data keeping question. If you can split your premiums on the insurance business between new and renewal. The second, you know, more from a qualitative perspective, you know, if I just do some numbers on your contribution margins, what it looks like is that the entire benefit has come from the old or rather the digital insurance business, where the contributions margins are probably now 60% plus. And to some extent, that looks like that is probably driven by significantly in a significant reduction in your ad and promotional spend that goes into the contribution. Even though the share of customers coming directly and some of these factors and the mix has probably remained constant. So if you can give some color on that. And third, I think more from the premium mix side, it looks that the YOY growth in premium through your digital channel has been in high double digits or maybe a little bit more than that. So is it because of slowdown in term or is there something to read into it? That's all.
You want to take this? Yeah, sure.
No. So the first question, Dipanjan, is that our ad spend is driven by, you know, by the, you know, the business and everything that we are doing in each month. So there is no such, you know, thing that we have slowed down or speeded up the process. Last year was a COVID year. So April, May were very strong months because of COVID. So obviously we were very visible and active on television. This quarter is a more normal quarter and we've spent as we would in any first quarter of the year.
That's our first quarter would have been lower last year. Overall, it looks like
we've increased that.
No, but we've increased, yeah.
So I think if you go numbers up. Not.
So I think if you could take this offline with Rasleen, that would be helpful because our brand spend or our ad spend has not really come down. If anything, it's higher. So I would say just take it offline. That would probably be more helpful.
Sure, I will do that. And if you can give the split between renewal and new business premium for the quarter.
So of the total premium, new business is 1390 crores and renewal is 1040.
Okay, sure. And lastly, the origination of the premiums, it looks like the origination through the digital channel has been a bit soft. Is my understanding correct? And if you can, you know, elaborate on the probable reasons for that.
No, I think what you're attributing to is again because in term and health last year, in the protection business last year was a very strong quarter. First quarter was very unusually strong because of COVID. So there is some difference because of that. So that has, obviously happened this quarter. But other than that, I think if you see the results, especially on the revenue side, the growth is really strong.
And if you look at Q4 versus Q1, we are pretty flat on our premiums. So there isn't any slowdown, etc., so to say, this year. From that perspective, of course, last year was an exceptional year. So you cannot really take, the demand for last year because obviously during COVID, everybody needed health and life a lot more than they would in a non-COVID year. But yes, Q4 to Q3, we are good.
Sure. And I'll take that question offline and thanks and all the best.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhaval from DSP. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions. First is relating to, could you just give the revenue for Paisa Bazaar for the quarter?
The credit revenue is 84 crores for the quarter.
Okay. And the distribution would be the credit card, etc. would be?
Yeah, we don't get into those details. We don't go into segment by segment. But the leading product out there is unsecured loans and credit cards. And they are both growing well. But, we do not give more disclosure than that. We just don't do, product level reporting.
But what we have given, Dhaval, is the disbursal growth and credit card growth. Disbursals grew by about 135% YOY and number of credit cards issued grew by about 600%+ YOY. So you can get a sense from that.
Sure. And what would be the equivalent number for last quarter? The 84 crore equivalent number for last quarter would be approximately?
Our revenue Q on Q grew by about 8%.
Okay. Got it. And the second question, just to get it clear, is, you know, I mean, it seems, assuming the adjusted EBITDA is zero in the fourth quarter, we are saying that the adjusted EBITDA next year would be zero. Our ESOP cost, which probably this year we, given the trajectory, could end about 600 odd crore, that will also phase out in the next year. So somewhere in FY25 or so, we expect sort of EBITDA break-even or close to EBITDA break-even. Is the understanding correct?
Let's see, is all I would say. Let's see.
Okay. Okay.
Your understanding is correct, but your and my understanding might be different, is all I'm saying. So let's see. Let's wait and watch.
Okay, and where would the difference be? I mean,
yes, looking at the past numbers and looking at what all you know, your understanding is correct.
Okay. Okay, got it. And just to confirm the ESOP cost for the year, we expect it to be around 600 crore for the year?
544. Yeah, I think it will be lower. I think it will be more like 550. A bulk of ESOPs that you see here were allocated last October. So the yearly cost is divided between two financial years. So last two quarters of the last financial year and two quarters of this financial year, then it comes down a little bit. Again, for two quarters of this year and two quarters of next year. So we'll continue to see it coming down for next 5 years. The number for this year is about 540, 550.
See, this year is 5, just to give everybody clarity on this, just make a note of it so you guys are all clear. This year is about 550. Next year is about 300. The year after it's about 189. The year after it's less than 100. The year after it's about 30 crores for the year.
And that's why FY25 we said these should be.
So FY24, the year 24-25, it's about 180-90 crores. And from all the information we know at this stage, I don't see why our profit shouldn't be higher than that, because if by 22-23, let's just do the math, right? If by the end of 22-23 we've broken even, then by the 150 CR we're talking about, clearly we should be at a run rate to deliver this 190 crores. I don't see why not. And see, even think about the 150, the break-even part, right? Why am I saying this? Look, last year Policy Bazaar in the last quarter made 28 crores of EBITDA. The Paisa Bazaar made about whatever 10, 12, 18 crores or something of loss. Next year, Paisa Bazaar or the credit business is going to be break even. So there is no reason why Policy would not do about 50 crores of positive, and there is no reason our new business will take more than 50 crores. So at this point, you know, we feel fairly confident about that number. Now things change, of course we'll watch it, but why should things change? Let's see.
Fairly clear. Just one last thing in terms of the split that you gave for new and renewal, the renewal rate seems to have come down. So is it more seasonal or product?
No. That's a wrong conclusion. Please don't see. Sometimes with over analysis, we get into the wrong conclusion. I can clarify to you very very categorically that our renewal rate, if anything, has actually gone up by a few percentage points, and definitely one of the strongest in the industry. In fact, we are positively surprised by it. So do not go to the wrong conclusion, is all I would suggest. You may be reading something more than what needs to be read in the data.
Sure. Okay, got it. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhishek Khanna from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
I just had a basic question, Q4 to Q1, because we've been talking about that seasonality in different quarters. I just wanted to understand, Q4 to Q1, we've seen a growth in our renewal revenues, we've seen a growth in our insurance premium, in the disbursals as well. So what really explains that 6-7% decline in the existing revenue? Is it some product mix change? I mean, what explains that decline despite whatever 10-12% increase that we've seen in the disbursals, premiums, and the renewal revenues also?
So broadly, if I was to explain to you the 6% decline that we, or the 4% decline that we see in the revenues from Q4 to Q1, would be probably because of about
8% decline in fresh insurance premium compared to Q4, which is very expected, right? You're comparing the March quarter with the April, May, June quarter. In the insurance industry, those are not really very comparable quarters. And I think that is it. There is not much mix change, etc. So it's just seasonality, nothing more than that. So I think it's a pretty strong result. If your revenue is the same as the strongest quarter of the year, if you come up with revenue which is pretty much the same, that is a pretty strong result, I would say.
Just to add, I would encourage you to look at the industry statistics which come out, you know, every month and have come out for the first quarter. So you'll find that there is the industry seasonality is much more than the seasonality that you're seeing over here.
No, I totally understand that. But the only question that I had was because your premiums aren't declining. So are you saying that the decline is in your fresh insurance new business premiums? Is that the case?
There may be some shift from, there may be some higher renewal. We gave you the renewal premium and the fresh premium breakup also, which was the 1330 and whatever. So, and the 1040 of renewal premium. So, all I'm saying is don't read too much into a 4% shift here.
Sure. And just one more question. When you say that on the renewal revenue, your margins are about 85% or so, is that all of the costs taken from that
everything
revenue?
Everything taken into account. We do our internal analysis fully loaded. It's about 85%. So we've done this analysis multiple times.
Sure.
It's 85%.
That's broadly the
PBT. All the cost, so everything. Yeah, the telecom, people, management, everything gets into it.
Got it. And just one last question on that, because I remember that number being 90%. I know it's not a material shift, but it's a large revenue.
We've added payment gateway cost, we've added everything. So then it's 85%.
So now that this 85% number you're saying should be inclusive of forge cost and should stay as it is right now. So 85% number going forward should also be a good approximation.
Because see, as years go by, you have to understand the renewal dynamic, right? First year it is X, next year it is more than X, third year it's more than X. By the time you get to the third year, it's 97% type share. So hopefully as our book builds up into the future, it should be reducing. The cost of doing the renewal should be reducing. But 85% is also good enough, yeah.
Sure. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Umang Shah from Arohi Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you so much for taking my question. The first one is on slide number 3. If we have the year-over-year premiums increasing from 1594 to 2430, how much of the growth is explained using new initiatives and how much is the growth in the core Policy Bazaar business? If you could help us appreciate that.
We haven't shared this breakup, but again, you can do the math based on the revenue, right? You can get to some numbers. Obviously, there is the new initiatives add to the growth, and there is growth in the existing business as well.
See, there's 134 crore revenue there on the new initiatives. And if you take away the credit revenue, there is probably 290 odd crore of revenue here on the existing businesses. You could perhaps take some kind of a split through that.
Got it. But is there a material improvement in take rates, or is the entire growth in the revenues explained by growth in premiums?
The take rate has improved materially in one of the segments. We'll just leave it there, but it's improved materially in one of the segments in the existing business.
Got it. So hence, Yashish, just wanted to understand the premium growth in the core.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, hence wanted to understand the premium growth, because we have some revenue growth. We have experienced an increase in take rate, and hence wanted to understand the premium growth.
So, because just to be clear, Sorry, just to be clear, the take rate point that Yashish was making is in a particular segment of our existing business. On an overall basis, the take rates are fairly steady. Take rate expansion is not a key driver of the whole thing.
Understood. Got it. The second question I had was to Naveen. Could you share the contribution margin for Paisa Bazaar?
For the credit business, the contribution margin at a business level we are not sharing, but at an overall level, we've shared that number, which is at about 45% between both insurance and credit business.
So is the credit business higher or lower than this number?
It is lower than this number, but let's not get into further details.
Yeah, I think if you wanted to get into more details, you could refer to slide number.
So there is a slide in the presentation, which is slide number what?
36.
Where you can see, how the lending business has been moving.
Yeah, that gives you an indication of how the EBITDA margin is improving over a period of last 2 years.
Got it.
How we are getting close to the profitability.
Got it. The last question I had was the outlook on the retail protection side. You know, if you see the industry, a lot of the life insurers are reporting massive drops in retail protection. And given that we are market leaders in that space, how does it impact our business and how do we think about growth in this business more from a medium-term view?
Yeah, I think there are two things to understand about retail protection. The number of people in India who have term is only, 60 lakhs or so. So there is a large opportunity that is available for term insurance in India. So the medium to long-term view on this, I think segment is very positive. What has happened in the near term is that because of COVID, the industry went through a significant shift in terms of both process and price. That, if you see in this quarter, probably came together because last year was a very high demand quarter. Now going forward, what we expect is the processes have largely stabilized. Pricing also has largely stabilized because of the new use and file regulations. You are going to get new products, much more innovation in this category as we go forward. And I think you will find that the category will build as we go through this year. So we are actually very optimistic about term and protection in general. And I think you will see that building as we go through this year.
I want to say something in addition to this. And I'm saying something, having watched this industry now for the last 13, 14 years. And, pretty much, Policy Bazaar has been at the forefront of this whole term insurance market. So take my word for whatever you think they're worth. See, from 2009 to 2017, you saw a steady decline every year in term insurance prices. And I think certain new channels were really, really opened up in about 2016-17, that time frame. And I think those who are in the know of the market know which channels those were. And I think there was a differential experience very clearly on the claims ratio. And so when that hit the reinsurers, because essentially the same prices that were coming through the direct channel or the digital channel or us and the insurance company's direct platforms was also extended to certain other channels. And that had a dramatically negative effect on the reinsurers. And now, at least that is acknowledged in some circles. And that led to essentially a negative surprise for at least RGA and a few other reinsurers. RGA essentially pretty much pulled out, and then, there was a dearth of reinsurers. Everybody was a bit worried. My assessment is there is very clear understanding at the reinsurer's end now that there is differential risk across channels. And I don't talk about just Policy Bazaar here, okay? I talk about the entire Policy Bazaar, the insurance companies, websites, etc. They are at a differential risk. For disclosure reasons, for whatever reasons, because of the amount of effort that has been put in the checks and balances that have been put in place. And if you wish, at some point I would love to, for a select group of you, host a 1-hour session where we could take you through what kind of checks and balances have been put in place
which lead to that. And because of that, the reinsurers, in my opinion, are willing to support some kind of different prices across these. Now, it is up to insurers to take those, not take those. And to some extent, that will determine, you know, the future of the industry. I do think some insurers are taking those, some insurers are not taking those as of now. But the industry is in that zone. You know, that's my assessment of the situation. I think the market will grow. We continue to do good quality business. We haven't seen what has been reported in the media or whatever has been reported. That data we have not seen, and you know our data is quite out there. But I'll kind of leave it there. And I'm not talking about term versus trop, etc. I'm talking about just term. That's it. So for those who understand, there is a TROP segment and there's a term segment, and the TROP can have slightly higher premiums, but the risk component is limited. So you guys know all this, yeah. So for the ones who know, you already know it.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take that as a last question. I now hand over the floor back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much to all of you for, you know, all your participation and all your questions. Very, you know, heartening to see the participation. And look forward to speaking to you in another 3 months' time. Thank you for now. Have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of PB FinTech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.